A former Haines doctor traveled to Liberia for 2 months to treat Ebola-infected healthcare workers. And a Haines man is charged with a June theft on Southeast Road Builders. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Emily Files. Those stories and more up next. A Haines man already in jail was charged with felony burglary and theft on Friday after a state trooper and wildlife trooper investigation. 23-year-old Dalton Houston is charged with one count of burglary and two counts of theft from a Southeast Road Builders facility near 5 Mile of the Haines Highway in June 2014. The charges are Class C felonies. According to the criminal complaint filed by state trooper Andrew Neeson, 3 paintball guns, 2 cases of 12-gauge shotgun ammunition, and a 12-volt battery charger were reported missing on June 24th. The estimated value was more than $1,300. In September, when he was in custody for possession of a stolen ATV, Houston admitted to being present when another person took the paintball guns and fireworks from Southeast Road Builders. He also admitted he possessed the paintball guns until they were stolen by another person as collateral for a debt. The paintball guns were recovered from that person this month. Houston is currently being held at the Lemon Creek Correctional Facility in Juneau on other charges. A Juneau grand jury indicted Houston in December 2014 for first-degree burglary with intent to steal property when he broke into a Haines home. That is a Class B felony offense. According to online court records, Houston is also facing misdemeanor charges for shooting a brown bear and 2 cubs in August, and misdemeanor vehicle theft and trespassing charges from October for stealing an ATV. His arraignment for the most recent charges is scheduled for January 22nd in Haines. A former Haines and Sitka doctor spent 2 months in Monrovia, Liberia, treating Ebola-infected healthcare workers. Russ Bowman is a doctor with the U.S. Public Health Service. He worked at the Search Clinic in Haines from 2007 to 2012, and in Sitka after that. He returned from Liberia to his home in Albuquerque in time to spend the holidays with his family. When I spoke to Dr. Bowman, he had just cleared the 21-day incubation period for Ebola. He had been monitoring his temperature since he returned home in late December. Bowman worked at the U.S. Public Health Service Commissioned Corps Monrovia Medical Unit that began operating in November to treat those who treat Ebola, mainly Liberian doctors, nurses, and also ambulance drivers and burial team members are eligible for care in the field hospital. It's basically a series of air-conditioned tents with a hallway connecting them. Liberia is one of 3 countries in West Africa hardest hit by the Ebola outbreak, although it's getting more under control in Liberia, at least. Bowman had done relief work there before, but it didn't involve such a dangerous disease. Despite the risks, he says his friends and family were supportive of his decision to serve in Monrovia.
The reaction to most folks was, you know, was wow. I mean, I'm very proud of you. You know, we need people to go do that.
Bowman went through a week of training with the CDC before leaving. He and the other public health service workers drilled every day in putting on and taking off all of the personal protective equipment, or PPE, they would need to wear to shield themselves from the disease.
Hard. It was very hard to adjust to that, but you had to. I mean, for your own safety, you know, this is an illness that can kill you.
Bowman says there's a difficult barrier that's created between a patient and provider when one is so covered in protective equipment that they're unrecognizable.
It's a very different feeling to be in that and trying to provide care because you've got double gloves on, you've got goggles, you've got a mask on. It's hot. It's just a very, very alien kind of feeling compared to what most of us are used to.
Bowman says the doctors and nurses would sometimes attach pictures of themselves to their PPE so people would know who was under the mask and goggles. The medical unit had more resources than the average treatment center in Liberia. For example, they had IVs to help keep patients hydrated, but they didn't have access to more expensive equipment like ventilators and dialysis machines. Bowman says he's not sure if those things would have saved any lives, but it was hard to have such limited options. The best part was when people survived.
Our first two saves, our first two survivors that came out, that was a very special time. And again, personally speaking, I found the Liberians to be wonderful people, very, very giving and kind and friendly, but also a little bit stoic too. And then when they came into the unit, a lot of them felt like they were going to die. And for them to have come through their illness, it was a very special time.
Bowman says the most patients they had at a time was around 8 or 9. He thinks the success rate was pretty high, but it wasn't 100%. Dealing with those losses brought the medical unit closer together.
But the camaraderie within the unit was very, very strong. When I think when anybody's put in that kind of situation where it's high stress and people are surviving and people who are not surviving, can't help but grow close.
After working 12-hour shifts at the medical unit for nearly 2 months, Bowman is back home. He's healthy and happy to see his family and ride his bike. He says he's glad the Liberian survivors he helped treat are back with their families too. The Haines School Board will discuss staffing changes and Mosquito Lake School at tonight's meeting. The board will vote to approve 2 new hires, Angela Goodwin as a part-time custodian and Ryan Harms as an assistant girls basketball coach. Goodwin and Harms started their jobs in December. The board will also consider a letter of resignation from school counselor Lindsay Moore, effective June 30th. Discussion on tenured staff contracts and a discussion on an additional paraprofessional position are also on the agenda. Principal Cheryl Stickler submitted a letter to the school board requesting a review of her principal's contract. Stickler says her duties as a part-time principal, part-time teacher extend beyond the contract. Stickler says in the letter that she asked former Superintendent Michael Beyer in May to extend the principal position to full-time, and he denied the request. Stickler is asking the school board for a contract revision and for pay to compensate her for extra duties. The school board will also discuss the future of Mosquito Lake School, which was closed last year after a drop in enrollment. Since then, the Haynesboro has assessed the school building to potentially sell, and a group of Mosquito Lake residents organized to try to reopen the building as a school or community center. A draft survey to send to local parents asking whether they would enroll their child in Mosquito Lake School is included in the school board agenda. The meeting is at 7 p.m. tonight in the school library. Haines, Skagway, and Juneau Representative Kathy Munoz hopes Governor Bill Walker will submit his amended budget well before the February 18th deadline. Munoz says Juneau is well taken care of in the capital budget with full funding for continued work on the state library, archives, and museum. But she adds lawmakers will need as much time as possible to address a $3.5 billion deficit. KTOO's Jennifer Canfield has more on the lawmakers' priorities for the upcoming legislative session.
Representative Munoz will oversee the budgets for the Department of Environmental Conservation and the Alaska Court System. She's also on the House Finance Committee.
I, of course, will be paying close attention to the impact of budget cuts to make sure that there's not disproportionate impact to one community compared to another community. We'll be looking for equitable distribution of those reductions.
When not tackling the budget, lawmakers will likely spend much of their time debating how to regulate marijuana. While voters approved a ballot measure in November to legalize cannabis, the details of how to do that were left to be resolved.
I think there's going to be a lot of focus on the content and packaging issues, and also enforcement will be a big point of discussion, I think.
Munoz, a Republican, will introduce several bills this session, including one to add sexual orientation to the state's anti-discrimination laws. Another bill Munoz will introduce would allow residents with unforeseen medical conditions to qualify for a permanent fund dividend, even if they're out of the state for too long. Currently, residents who require out-of-state medical care can stay eligible with an extension, but that extension isn't as generous as it is for students or military. Munoz says she's also working on a bill to help expand affordable housing by addressing how municipalities assess property taxes on new subdivisions. She says important issues for her office include the new health care plan for the state of Alaska employees and the Tulsico Chief Mine. In Juneau, I'm Jennifer Canfield.
For KHNS News, I'm Emily Files. Thanks for joining us this evening. You can listen to and read local news stories on our website at khns.org.